it's time to get underway with a special edition of Radio Friendships from our location in Galveston, Texas, where we're helping to meet the needs of people for the love of Jesus Christ. Radio Friendships is brought to you by Don and Sandra Tipton of Friendships Unlimited, which is located in Lake Charles, Louisiana. As the Lord said in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together.
Hello, this is Sandra Tipton with Radio Friendships. Today we're working out of the Ship Hope. We're on the bridge of the Ship Hope in Galveston, Texas, where we're working, meeting the needs of some of the victims of Hurricane Ike. So if you hear some engine rumbling in the background, please bear with us. It's not always perfectly quiet here on the vessel. Well, we're honored today to welcome Richard Blackaby to the show. Welcome, Richard.
It's good to be with you.
Mr. Blackaby is a president of Blackaby Ministries International, based in Atlanta, Georgia. BMI is a ministry that encourages us to put God first and to trust Him to provide everything that we need. Many of our listeners may be familiar with this ministry because of the book and the teachings of Experiencing God, written by Richard's father, Henry Blackaby, with a recent edition also written by Henry and Richard. And the book is an extremely popular, respected, and encouraging text that has sold many millions of copies around the world. Richard, our purpose for the show that we produce on Radio Friendships is to encourage the body of Christ to seek the kingdom first, and all else will be added to us. And I believe you just returned from Asia teaching leadership seminars that in part focuses on that premise. Could you tell us about the seminars that you're involved in?
Well, my father and I were teaching in several countries, in Korea, and then went down to Hong Kong and speaking especially just to the people in the marketplace, ordinary working people. Who are facing some huge consequences of some of the economic downturns. And then the conferences went on to Singapore and Malaysia, and in every place they've just packed out audiences and basically just saying God is at work, and God doesn't go up and down based on the economy. God is always at work accomplishing His purposes and building His kingdom, and He's looking for those that are willing to respond to His invitation to join Him in His activity. And certainly in days like these where there are all kinds of crises and various challenges people are facing, it's also a tremendous opportunity to be a servant of God. And these are exciting days to be serving Him. And God is at work all around the world. And everywhere we go, we're seeing people responding enthusiastically to just the message of Christianity.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. If people are interested in finding out more about the seminars, attending possible future ones, or scheduling one to come to their city, is there any way that they can pursue that?
Yeah, you can go to our website at blackaby.org, and it has our calendar of events, and I can tell you if we're going to be doing something in your area of the world or across the United States. And also all the books we've ever written are available there, and so a lot of resources, even a monthly devotional for people who work in the marketplace, just trying to encourage you with the truths from the Word of God that just inspire you as you go to where you're at work to see where God's also active in the same place.
Could you share with us some of the principles of the teaching that God has led you to share?
Well, if people have taken experience in God, they know that we've kind of summarized them in what we call seven realities. And the first one, reality, perhaps in some ways the most revolutionary for a lot of people, is the truth that God is always at work around you. And we've known people who laughed at that reality, who said, I've been in the company for 12 years and never seen anything of God. It's a secular, profane place that mocks Christianity, and God's not at work there. And we challenge them to just ask God to open their spiritual eyes to see. And incredibly, almost immediately, these same people who had not seen God do anything in 12 years began to see God at work all around them, and they began leading colleagues to Christ, and were used by God even to, in some cases, save marriages and encourage people on the brink of suicide. And we've known churches who said God's not at work in our neighborhood. It's a declining neighborhood. Our church attendance has been going down for years. The crime rates have been going up. And they went through experiencing God, and all of a sudden they just began to realize God was at work all around them. But these churches have been so busy trying to keep their own programming going and keeping the same calendar of activities functioning that they had not had the spiritual eyes to see what God was doing. And the moment they did that, it revolutionized the church. And so that's the first reality, just to realize God is at work. If you're not seeing it or experiencing it, it's not that it's not happening. It's that you don't have the eyes to see. But when you begin to watch, you begin to realize that also that God is pursuing a love relationship with you. And it comes out of that relationship. I know some people that are so concerned about serving God that they don't take time to love God. But your service comes out of your love for Him.
Yes.
And so we tell people the greatest ministry you'll ever have will stem out of your walk with Him. And the problem is, if you've neglected that walk, if you don't have time for Him, you're so busy trying to serve Him, you won't have nearly the kind of ministry you would have had if you had just tended that love relationship. And so everything else comes out of that. As you love Him and just enjoy walking with Him, every day He'll open your eyes to see what it is He's doing around you that day. And one thing just leads to another, and before you know it, your life is going to be full and rich and so productive for the kingdom. And you won't even necessarily know how it happened, except that you were just trying to walk with God in a love relationship, and you began to see amazing things happening as a result.
Oh, that's wonderful teaching. That's such great tools for people to incorporate in anything that they're doing, in the workplace, in the mission field, just in everyday life. That's great. What else, Richard?
Well, you know, God, the teaching also is that God speaks to us, and He communicates in many ways. And again, you know, a lot of people say, well, I haven't heard God say anything to me. I haven't heard His voice. I don't think that can't happen today. And again, that all comes out of your relationship with Him. I tell people it's a lot like marriage. You know, when I first married my wife, I thought I knew her quite well. We were in the closest of human relationships. And yet there were all kinds of times my wife would be trying to communicate something with me that I just didn't pick up. And it was obvious to her. She was obviously communicating, she thought, but I just wasn't picking it up. But after 25 years of being married to that person, I'd come to know her much, much better, and to know her heart, to know what she likes and doesn't like, to recognize a tone of voice, to recognize just a look, a glance anymore. And, you know, she, in many ways, she actually has to do much less now to communicate a tremendous amount to me. It's not that she does anything any differently. It's just that my heart is much more in tune with hers now, and I know her so much better. And so I tell people, when they say, well, how can I know when God's speaking to me? I would say, well, just develop a love relationship with Him. Just get to know His heart. Know what He cares about, how He functions. And
yes.
As you do that, all of a sudden you'll just begin to recognize with an invitation, you'll just have a sense, this is a God thing. This is God speaking to me here. And as you just respond to each invitation that comes from God, it just leads to an ever-increasing walk and ministry that God will give your life. And it's not meant to be complicated. It's not meant to be, we have to walk around with a whole bunch of formulas to follow and calculate to figure out, is this God or not? It's just relating to a person.
Now, you mentioned earlier, if you've gone through experiencing God, is there a course I believe there's some online courses that you have. Is that correct?
Well, there is, and you can certainly take the workbook of Experiencing God, which was revised a year ago. It first came out in 1990, and it's best designed for people to do in a small group together, and that's just transformational. We've known whole churches that went through that study, and it changed their life. And then a couple years after that was written the trade book, which you can just, as an individual, just read through, and that's what's just been revised and just recently been released. If you're just someone that maybe doesn't have time to meet in a group right now, but really wants just to find the teachings, then that's a great book just to get your hands on and study through. And so all the Experiencing God materials now have been updated and expanded and revised since they first came out in the early 1990s. And there, we continue everywhere we go in the world to find people coming up to us and just thanking us for how God used that material to change their life.
Now, that must be so rewarding to you.
Yeah, and there are, as you said, there. If you go to our ministry website, www.blackaby.org, there are some online courses that we regularly offer that you can, and it's they're great to participate in, because you could be with people on four or five different continents studying online each week and praying together and encouraging each other and just studying some of the various teachings that have come out of experiencing God. We just various teachings that we haven't put in books that you could get, but you could study it together online with some other people. And some great friendships have developed from around the world as people just study these great truths together and watch God apply them in their own life and ministry.
Oh, that's very exciting. Can we talk a little bit more about your focus on the business community?
Yeah, my father and I, one of the things that we do is that we disciple Christian CEOs of some Fortune 500 companies, and we spend a lot of time just helping them realize that God has placed each person in the job where they are for a reason, whether they're the CEO of tens of thousands of employees or if they're just starting out a business. God has a purpose, and we just try to help people to just be God-focused, God-centered in their work, and to recognize His activity, and to realize that if God's put them in a particular place, God wants to use them there, and to learn how to just be an instrument in God's hand. And so we also speak in conferences to working people at large, and do a number of different things. We wrote a book last year on just called God in the Marketplace, and it's just kind of a summarization of a whole bunch of the most common questions we've been asked by Christian working people, and the answers we would give about just how God makes a difference where they work.
What would you say the most common question is that's asked?
Well, I know a lot of people, it's just how could God use someone like me? I'm just an executive in a very secular company. I've never been to seminary. I don't feel called as a minister. Although we know that God is Lord of our life, for a lot of us, we really act as if, you know, when I go to church on Sunday, that's when I serve God. You know, I teach a teenage Sunday school class at my church, right? You know, I serve on a board, and that's how I serve God. But then Monday, I've got to go earn a living. And it's been revolutionary for a lot of folks to realize, no, the church really is the place where I get equipped for my real work, which happens on Monday morning when I go and serve God on the mission field in my marketplace. And that has just revolutionized a lot of people's lives to realize the church is not the primary mission field where I go and serve. That's the equipping field.
Yes.
The mission field is Monday morning. And when I go out there, that's what I've been called to do. And too many churches are calling their people out of the mission field, out of the workplace, to say, come to this committee meeting this night and volunteer here and at this time and give your weekends up here. But we're not equipping people to go out and be effective where they spend most of their time and have most of their influence. And so that's a lot of teaching. We just try to help people to realize and see what God sees. And a lot of these folks, you know, the working people have so many talents and abilities and contacts and incredible experiences. And for too long, the church has not made use of those. They've almost seemed irrelevant. It's just, well, can you serve here in this committee in our church? And instead of tapping into the enormous ability that these folks have, and so it's been just a thrill for us to say, no, you're right where God wants you to be. All those experiences God gave you are for a reason. And but for a lot of the folks we work with, they feel terrible in the sense that they have spent all their skills and abilities making the world successful, making their company successful, and they've not done anything with those same abilities to make the kingdom of God a greater success. And a lot of these folks are saying, no, I need to be seeking first the kingdom. I've been seeking first, rising up the corporate ladder.
Yes.
And making myself more successful, and I haven't been seeking the kingdom first, and so help me to know how to do that in the middle of my workplace. It doesn't mean you leave your job and enter the ministry, serving in the church. It means that you say, God, right where I've placed me, help me to become kingdom focused in how I live. live and operate.
Can you give us a tool or two for people listening out there? I'm sure the majority of whom are in the workplace. Tomorrow morning when they get up and they go to work, what can they do? They can open their eyes to try to see what God's showing them. And what else, Richard?
Well, whatever time you need to get up first in the morning and just spend some time with Him, I'd say, God, help my heart to be right so I hear what you say and see what you're doing. And then, God, let me just be sensitive when a colleague suddenly takes me aside and asks if I'd have time for lunch or to have coffee, or they make some offhanded comment about you go to church or you're a Christian, or so many little cues that could be an invitation to become involved in what God's doing. God, just help me to be not so busy and preoccupied with my work that I miss those. And then, God, give me the courage when that moment comes to speak up or to say something, and not just to let it pass, as perhaps I've done in the past. And there's just a number of ways, just very simple ways. God won't overwhelm you and give you far more than you can handle. If you haven't been used to functioning this way, God will just give you something that's manageable that you can respond to. It might make you uncomfortable, but it's something that you can do. And just take that next little step and just watch and see what happens. And that first step always leads to another one and another one. And it may not always be spectacular or earth-shattering, but you have a sense in your heart that God is beginning to involve you in His activity. And just be praying. You can be praying for the people you work with. Just pray by name. And it might be a couple of weeks that you pray for your boss or the person that works next to you. And then one day, suddenly, out of the blue, there'll be a comment or something, and you realize this is what you've been waiting for, and this is your moment to be an instrument in the hands of God.
Boy, I know what you're saying is so true through many of our experiences. We're out here in the mission field, but even so, as you say, you can get so involved in the physical work of something like disaster relief that you lose the relationship with the Lord, and that is what produces the fruit. I totally agree with every word that you're saying here, Richard.
And there's always more to God. Always has so much more than what we see. You know, sometimes we can just see the obvious. Oh, I need to help here. I need to fix this, or whatever. Say that, and there's always that dimension that you see. But with God, it's so multidimensional.
Yes.
And that's why obedience is so critical, because to obey God, there may be a dozen different things at stake in that one act of obedience. Dozen different trails that affect different people at different levels, and it's never just one simple thing. That's why I would say, at times people say, well, not everything that God asks you to do is just God size and miraculous or anything. And I'll say, well, yeah, not in that sense, but what you don't understand is that one simple little act of obedience has so many ramifications. Only God could take one act of obedience and impact a multitude of different kinds of people. And so that's why it's so critical to be on God's agenda, because what seems simple to you can have incredible rippling effect and impact more people than you would ever imagine.
Yes. In our line of work, we're often overwhelmed by the circumstances, because we'll come into a country like Haiti, for example, where virtually the entire country is in desperate circumstances. 24 hours a day, they're in a disaster zone, and it becomes overwhelming. But if we are obedient, as you're saying, we're obedient to go and do that thing which God sent us to do, we don't even begin to know the effects that it has.
Exactly. And that's why it's all about the relationship. It's not about doing. It's about relating to Him. Because if you start to think of all the things you need to do, all the problems that you need to meet, we're just human, and it will overwhelm you.
Yes.
But if you say, no, what I'm called to do is to walk with God today. I'll walk with God in the midst of a lot of human need, but my primary calling is not to meet needs. Jesus at times did not meet every need that was presented to Him.
No.
And He was told, your good friend Lazarus is at death's door. Hurry. Drop what you're doing. Run. This is an emergency. He didn't do that. His responsibility was to walk with the Father, and He did that effectively day by day, and of course his life had enormous impact. And I'd encourage people, if you start to feel just overwhelmed and just, what do I do? There's so many needs. I'm wearing myself out here trying to meet them. I'd say, well, then you've got your view of Christianity wrong. Your calling is to walk with one person. And if you walk with God the way He calls you to, just focus on that. Just enjoy His presence. Keep the joy of the Lord by staying close to Him. You'll look around and hardly even realize how much your life is making an impact as a result. But if you get the focus on doing, you'll burn out, you'll get discouraged, you'll feel overwhelmed. And that's usually a good sign, a warning, that you've taken your eyes off of Jesus and now you're just trying to serve Jesus.
Yes. But at the same time, you're not saying not to do. You're just saying priorities, right?
The people who get the most things done for the kingdom of God are the people that focus on walking with Jesus. Jesus is a guy who gets a lot of things done. And if you walk with him and you're wherever he is, you'll see a lot of things happening. But if you try to run on ahead of him to get stuff done, you'll discover that even though you're working yourself to death, there's not as much kingdom accomplishments taking place.
You're listening to Radio Friendships. This is Sandra Tipton from the Friendship Hope, and we're here today with Richard Blackaby. Richard, to change the subject just a bit, we've just been through a season of evaluating political figures for elections, and I know part of your work is with leadership training, so I wonder if you could give us some insight on what we should be looking for when we elect leaders.
Well, certainly there's been a lot of discussion about that, and my father and I wrote books called Spiritual Leadership several years ago that has been used around the world, and our definition of a spiritual leader is someone who moves people onto God's agenda. And, of course, every leader has an agenda, and that's usually one of the big questions that followers have is, so exactly what agenda will you be on if I elect you or if I follow you? And that oftentimes we're suspicious. It may not be what they tell us it is. And so I would, of course, that's a huge thing to say, is this leader someone that's following what God wants them to do, what God's agenda is, or do they have their own? And people just don't want to give their lives to making another leader's agenda successful. They want to be a part of a God thing, something that really matters. And whether it's for a president of the nation or just a pastor or any kind of leader, I would say, whose agenda are they on? What is their agenda? And is it something that I could give my life to? Could I give even a vote to? And I think this is a time, as much as any that I've seen, where there is a cry for leadership. There is a desire for leadership. And because people call themselves leaders does not mean they are one. Because they say that they've got all kinds of plans does not mean that they are necessarily a leader or certainly a spiritual leader. I'd look at their character. Usually track record is a good indicator of what a person's character is. I'd also realize in times like this that ultimately our trust has to be in God and not in a politician. We have to be good citizens. We've got to be involved and informed, participative. But if your trust is in a political party or any particular politician, you are destined to be disappointed. It is God and his activity that really is what is important, what will make a difference, and that's why we encourage people as much as any other time in history. We need to be people that are on God's agenda in our workplace, in our churches, wherever God has placed us, in our neighborhoods. Are you a part of the kingdom work? Because that's the part you can invest your life in and know that it will last and have significance.
Thank you very much, Richard. Unfortunately, we're coming to the end of our time today, but we would like to review again your website, your contact information for our listeners.
Sure. If you go to www.blackaby.org, you can find our calendar, our list of resources, and special conferences. We have particularly a conference on revival coming up in February that we would urge people, if at all possible, to come to. Ann Graham Lotz and my father and others will be there just to try to call God's people back to him, and we're very, very excited about that. And you can find all kinds of devotionals and helps that we hope will just encourage you.
Well, thank you again for joining us today, Richard. It's been a wonderful show, and we'd like to have you back again sometime if you're available.
Well, thank you. God bless you and all the great work that you folks are doing. I just pray God will just bless everything you put your hands on.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today on Radio Friendships, where we talk about the great and mighty God that we serve and the many opportunities around the world to get involved in serving the kingdom.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Bye. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433-5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.